It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For the first time in 20 years, more craft breweries closed across the nation than opened. That's according to the Brewers Association Industry Report of 2024 data. And that's the case here in Wisconsin, too. The state's craft breweries declined by about 1.5% last year. This comes with a mix of challenges. One is changing tastes. Craft brews are competing against THC-infused beverages, hard seltzers, and ready-to-drink cocktails, among other drinks. And then there are the economic hurdles. The White House's expanded tariffs on aluminum and steel are rattling supply chains. Aluminum tariffs hit brewers particularly hard due to the reliance on aluminum cans to package most beer. In this volatility, we're checking in with leaders of two Wisconsin's craft breweries. First up is Deb Carey, founder and CEO of New Glarus Brewing Company. Deb, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, Kate, thanks so much for having me on.
We have been seeing some craft breweries closing, going dark. Is this industry contraction that we're seeing in these numbers, is it worrisome?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the position that you're in. Generally, when things occur like this in my world, I look at it as an opportunity and a challenge. You really, in order to get anywhere in almost any business these days, customers are so sophisticated that the table stakes are beyond anybody's imagining from 10 or 20 years ago. You can't just throw a shingle out and do the kind of, I've built it so they'll come anymore. And so it does make it a challenge for a lot of people, but you know, this has happened a number of times in the 30 plus years that we've had New Glarus Brewing Company going, and I'm sure it'll happen again.
You've seen a lot of cycles over the decades. The state, of course, has a long brewing history. Are there particular challenges at this moment that craft breweries are facing in Wisconsin?
Well, I think the biggest one that no one really has any control over is the economic uncertainty, because when people are anxious, you know, whatever the situation is, if it's looking at floods or politics, it makes everybody a little apprehensive about spending or celebrating, and they're more careful with their income.
New Glarus, the largest craft brewery in Wisconsin, one of the largest in the nation, and you have this multi-million dollar expansion underway. Will that expansion change your approach to only selling in Wisconsin, or making you think differently about state borders?
No, I am one of the most bullheaded people on the planet. And you just have to own it at a certain point. And the business model that I'm functioning under is to make world-class beer for our friends in Wisconsin and really focus on taking care of our home territory. And to a lot of people, that sounds counterintuitive because, of course, bigger is always better, right? But I argue that point vehemently because in, you know, the history of breweries, as you say, this has happened before. And often brewers, you know, and I hate to just say it's a guy thing, but I might, they get a little bit competitive and egotistical about, I'm going to be the biggest or I'm going to be nationwide. And, you know, being the biggest or nationwide really doesn't pay the bills or provide employee benefits. You know, my responsibility is, as much as I do not care about numbers or money, my responsibility is to take care of the financial health of the business, its investors and employees. So what I'm doing makes us profitable, and I'm going to stay on this track.
Can you give us an update? You know, broke ground on a $55 million expansion last year. It's underway. Can you talk a little bit about the expansion and what's happening?
Yeah, sure. It's super exciting. It was designed by our resident architect, Catherine May. She's a young woman, and she is, I have to say here, she's also our daughter. And being a female licensed architect in the state of Wisconsin is kind of a rare thing, and she's done a number of really big projects for us, but this one is by far the biggest. We are doubling the size of the brew hall, so instead of just four copper vessels, there will be eight, and they've already been set in place. Anybody who's visited our brewery knows that it has this beautiful location on the top of a hill, and Dan and I are kind of romantics, and you know, that's what you do in Europe, and we love our little town of New Glarus, but we never imagined being as popular as we are, and so the parking became downright dangerous, and it's just, it was too fragmented, and people get pushy sometimes about where they want to park, and everybody shows up with their vacation brain on. So anyway, thankfully, we never had anything serious happen, but it caused me so much anxiety that between needing more production space and we want to have a place where people can see a little more demonstration brewing and get our distillery back, you know, in the fold, Catherine designed the building so it goes down the hill. So when people come in the future, they'll be able to park in the big field that used to be the overflow parking and just walk into the building and take an elevator up the hill. And I think this will be a lot more comfortable for everybody.
Well, some of those things, I mean, we've dealt with COVID, inflation, you've dealt with competition pressures from like hard seltzers and other new beverages and grocery shelf space, and now President Trump's tariffs. What might the tariff situation do to the industry? What are your thoughts there?
Well, it is, you know, so such an unavoidable challenge, and I don't think that anybody can dismiss the whether or not the tariff is specifically targeting a certain business or industry. You can't underestimate the effect it has on the economy. And I have friends who think this is great and it's moving forward, and we'll all see in a few years how that pans out. And I pray every day that they are right. However, the fact of the matter is, at this point, it does create economic pressure on pricing, and really is harming a lot of breweries. Fortunately for us, being bullheaded and loving Wisconsin, our bottles and cans and packaging have been coming from Wisconsin for a lot of years. Mm. We're the biggest user of Wisconsin hops. We buy barley from all over the world and some in Europe and Germany, and hops from many places in Europe. And so it does affect us, but not to the extent that it affects others.
I looked it up. You've packaged Spotted Cow in cans for nearly a decade now. And so I would imagine, though, I'd imagine you'd need a strong supply chain in place to weather the fluctuations and things you don't know and the changing conditions in packaging.
Yeah, it's true. It's not just the raw materials. Those are super important, but also it takes a village to make a beer is at absolute truth. Our wholesalers are the ones who bring it to the market. Retailers, tavern owners, they're the people who are serving the beer. There's an army of people making the beer, and there's all kinds of little side industries like our insurance company and the bankers. And sometimes I think people forget that when businesses struggle or flourish, it really does have a big impact on your local economy. And that's one of the great things about craft beer, is we really are economic drivers for our communities.
You mentioned the finicky situation of consumers and different influences there, economic, that could affect whether they go and have some beer. Are there generational changes you're seeing with craft brewing? you know, between like how Gen X and millennials may want it versus what you see coming out of Gen Z?
Well, I am so old. Frankly, when you say all these letters, I'm like, which one? Which one is that? But what I can tell you is that people are very sophisticated, and they also have strong opinions on what they like to eat and drink. And this really works for craft brewers because years ago when we started, there was, you know, beer was like Wonder Bread. It was kind of homogenous, not very interesting. And then as craft brewers grew, consumers became more curious and started to investigate different flavors. And I used to notice, and I found it quite humorous, that women were really far more curious about flavor than men were. If there was a big burly guy that, you know, could lift tree trunks in the brewery, I could almost bet that they would ask for something light. And if there were a little tiny older woman and she had on, you know, her glasses and looking like she's headed to somebody's house, she would be the first one to say, "Do you have something dark? Do you have something different?" You know, and they want to taste different things. And so I think as the years have gone by, people have become used to the idea of beer having lots of flavors and not just a homogenous, bland beverage. And I mean, that just really works for craft brewers. And I think it works for our society too. Beer gets kind of a bad rap, but in fact, it is the beverage of moderation. And it also brings together people in a healthy community connection kind of way, whether it's at a picnic or your local restaurant or tavern. It's, you know, having social connections, particularly after COVID, it's a rich experience and one that we shouldn't shy away from. And certainly if you're going to be having any alcohol at all, you should be looking for something that is moderate in its alcohol content.
Deb, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
We've been talking about the economic conditions in the craft brewing industry with Deb Carey, founder and CEO of New Glarus Brewing Company. Now to the Fox Valley, where the Fox River Brewing Company in Oshkosh turns 30 this year. CEO Jay Supley and his family are always on the move, making deliveries for the brewery around the state, and business is brisk. We're catching up with Jay, calling on clients in Green Bay.
Business is great, and for me, it's not so much deliveries. It's a meeting with a lot of our clients that we have there. We work really closely with 1919 at Lambeau Field, and several of the other ones just outside between Stadium View, the bar, and Doozy, D2, pretty much anybody that's out there. We obviously always try to make a call on them as well.
And when you say business is great, you're getting lots of calls for deliveries, places are stocking up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's always a good time. Summertime is always a good time for us, and I think for a lot of breweries and stuff like that on the craft side, especially with a lot of outside activities. And then, you know, Green Bay is always busy this time of year. Training camp starts tomorrow, and so it's always a great time around Green Bay this time. It's always exciting with the Packers starting training camp, and so this has always been busy. But I will say, you know, around Lambeau Field, it's busy year-round. I was here last week in Green Bay, and it was busy around Lambeau Field as well as, you know, the bars and restaurants around there, too, and stuff like that. There's always stuff going on there with the Rush Center, the Shopko Center, so there's a lot of activities that are happening there, so it's always a good spot for us.
It seems like your business isn't showing signs of softening, but there are these, you know, notable financial issues on the horizon for craft brewing. You know, the steel and aluminum tariffs, the imported raw ingredients like barley and malt at risk for growing tariffs. How do you feel about those risks?
You know, there's risks, you know, but honestly, there's risk in anything we do. It doesn't matter. Obviously, we have restaurants besides breweries and stuff like that. So, you know, we deal with rising costs on produce, chicken, steak, and everything, you know, everything that we do in business. I think a lot of it is just managing the costs. I mean, I think I think managing inventories is important. Managing labor is important. So I think there's a lot of things to do with that. And also, it's, you know, the biggest thing, Kate, is increasing volume, increasing awareness. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing you have to do. Sometimes a lot of your costs can be offset with volume. And it's really critical that you try to increase your volumes, because as you increase volume, obviously it's more cash flow, which helps, you know, minimize the risk as well as helps minimize the cost of doing business and stuff like that. So it's a reverse. If you're having declining sales with, you know, rising costs, that's not a good thing. So in our case, we try to increase sales to minimize the percentages.
Do you find that over the course of different generations, whether you're Gen Z and just emerging, whether you're Gen X, are there different tastes that your customers have?
Yeah, there is, you know, but what I do find interesting now with you talk about the Gen Zs and stuff like that is they're looking for, you know, lower alcohol. They're looking, obviously, to not have that, you know, high alcohol experience. You know, they're looking at NA beverages and things like that as well. And that's where mocktails come in. We do a lot with mocktails. We do, you know, we have NA beer as well. But then it's interesting is you look at, say, 65 in retirement. You know, as you retire the 70, 75, that has become a very active with pickleball and walking and, you know, some biking and stuff like that. They're kind of also stepping back a little bit, and they're actually looking for something a little bit more on the lower ABV. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you look at one spectrum, 21, you look at another spectrum at 65, there's definitely some likeness between what they're looking for from both categories, from both sides and stuff like that.
You definitely have to have your pulse on what your customers are telling you. In terms of also diversifying your business, I'm wondering if there are any lessons learned from the pandemic times. I mean, that was a really rough time for the craft brewing industry. Are there takeaways from that experience that you have in play today?
Well, it was interesting from COVID hit. What was really interesting is obviously on-premise stopped for a while. Like, we shut down for over 70 days. I think that's where we shut down. But if you look at that from the time it took to get back really where we're at today, a lot of it went to off-premise packaging. So we definitely seen a large increase in that side of it. So there was a lot of opportunities for gaining SKUs and stuff like that, because obviously the guest was shopping in grocery stores and Quick Trips and places like that and stuff. So there definitely was a change in that, which is good to a point, because there was a lot of visibility in the brand. We were able to get out there in a lot more places that we probably weren't, at in other places, you know, other parts of the state and in the UP and stuff like that, you know. And then what happened is slowly as it came back, the restaurant business itself came back to brewery, inside dining rooms, they picked up. There was that visibility of us being out there that they've seen our product and stuff like that too. So it was kind of interesting from that perspective.
Jay, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jay Supley is CEO of Fox River Brewing Company in Oshkosh and Appleton. We've been talking about how Wisconsin's craft brewing industry is dealing with economic uncertainty. And earlier, we got a read on the industry from New Glarus Brewing Company founder and CEO Deb Carey.